going to ask you if you would open your Bibles this morning. We're going to be in several passages today, but to begin with, I want us to open in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. For about 4 or 5 weeks, I have been contemplating this particular message. And not knowing what would take place on the nightly news or in the news feeds, newspapers, what we would be seeing in America is tragic. Both the killing of a man at the hands of an officer that I think every single person who watched that video could agree upon, that that just was evil. That was not right. The protests that followed, that as American citizens we have every right to do, and I applaud that. And then it, unfortunately, many of those turned into just out-and-out riots and lawlessness as we see in our streets. None of that probably would be... Well, let me back up. All of that would be cause for us to pause and to look at ourselves. Look at our nation, look at our country. When you throw that on top of being in the midst of a pandemic, where a couple of us were talking this morning, does anybody really know if masks work or not? Does anybody know if social distancing work or not? Because good people on both sides say different stories, right? So we get caught in the middle. Normal people get caught in the middle. Everybody on both sides, they know exactly everything. They're perfect in everything. I've been referred to as a Nazi more times than I care to be referred to as a Nazi. This is weighing hard on many people. I read statements by my friends who are in ministry. They are feeling a burden, a brokenness, a division in their church over many things that probably 3 months ago, 4 months ago didn't exist. But the world we live in today, I think we could all agree on, whether we are at any side of the story or any spectrum here, is that the world that we find ourselves living in today is far different than what we did March 1st. The purpose of this series on things that I can choose was to help us work on things that, while we weren't so distracted with all this other stuff of life, to sit down and to take a very good, hard, long look at where we are and where God would want us to be. So that if we get released, or when we get released, that we would be different people. That has always been my prayer. That has always been my heart. I was asked a few weeks ago if in dealing with people on a normal basis, if there was a sense of heavy weight. And I don't think I handled that question. I don't think I answered it correctly. But everything gets tempered now. Everything gets looked at evaluated against either COVID-19 or statutes falling down in America today. And there is heat on both sides. I saw a meme. I think it was kind of funny a little bit. It was basically this: not all lawyers are bad. Although my good friend Marv Diamond used to say, if you find a Christian lawyer, show it to me, because I've never met a Christian lawyer. Not all doctors are bad. But some of you have had bad doctors. Not all cops are bad. Then the meme ended with this: most politicians are bad. Amen? See? But this is the time we live. We live also with this concept: does everybody else in the world around me lost their mind? Which means what? You're the only one who hasn't lost your mind, right? But everybody sees it through their dynamic. And I would tell you, it is very easy to kind of want to give up. In just the last 2 weeks, our family has lost two people that are dear, one to Wendy and I and one to our kids. Two people at different perspectives of life, one 25 years old with a child, and another a grandmother with two children that have many grandbabies for her, both died of cancer. It is a struggle for my kids to try to watch what they're watching in their world, and then when the world hits home so close. You throw on losing a dog. You throw on having another friend struggle to stay alive through his cancer treatments. The uncertainty that exists all over this place is horrible. I'm going to ask you to readjust today. My grandfather's farm in southern Iowa was about as far away that you could be from civilization in Iowa. We'd go to their farm, we'd work all day, we'd work the cows, we'd work the garden, we would do chores, whatever, we'd fish, we'd hunt sometimes depending on what season it was. We'd come back into the house and they'd have this big old TV, and some of you are old enough to know exactly what I'm talking about, with them squiggly little rabbit ears on top. Although my grandmother, who was 5'0", improved upon it. She took tin foil to the rabbit ears and put the tin foil on there. Anybody know that? Anybody like that? Yeah, you see, y'all know that. This is the old people right now, right? I was the original remote control. My dad would just say to me, "Hey, son, I want it on channel 13. I'd have to get up, go change the channel for him. But in order to make that TV work, those rabbit ears had to be adjusted. And it was based upon a lot of different things. Was the sun out? Was it cloudy? Was it raining? Was it storming? Was it windy? Sometimes I had to stand there next to those rabbit ears, something like this, to get one channel from Kirksville, Missouri, to come in to the farm in Seymour, Iowa. But when you got it just right, when you readjusted it just right, it worked beautifully. Exactly how it was supposed to do. I'm going to ask us to readjust today. I'm going to ask us to go to places in Scripture that are hard to talk about because it doesn't bring with it wealth, health, and prosperity. It doesn't bring with it, hey, this stuff may go away. We may get to a point where COVID is no longer going to be an issue. I was talking to Rory this morning. His company is now saying, hey, it may be face masks forever. Sell that on a t-shirt. We may have a new norm that becomes the norm, that just is the norm is the norm is the norm. And some of you don't want to wear face masks, but what happens if your very life and going out requires you to do it? It's easy to be angry. It's easy to say, well, this isn't nothing. It is to some people, at least over 100,000 people who have died. We have crisis in our streets. Folks, if we read the Bible, we understand this, that it doesn't get any better than this. And if it doesn't, what does God give us? What does God, through His Word, give us so that we can be what He wants us to be? The Church of Jesus Christ, the Ecclesia, the called out assembly that will know and will be able to rightly walk through a global pandemic at the same time of national unrest. Because one thing has not changed. The power of God, the person of God, has not changed. But maybe He is using this in our lives to change us to be greater tools, more effective tools, to advance His kingdom on this planet. I want us to look at the Apostle Paul's life, because I don't believe, outside of Job, there is another man recorded for us in Scripture other than Jesus Christ. Okay, so that's always the first Sunday school answer. That comes up against so much, has every reason to stop and to just take his Bible and go home. Has every reason to get angry at God. And trust me, I have been with people over the last 4 or 5 weeks that have grown angry at God. Because God, you can stop the pandemic and you can stop this and you can do this and you can do this. But God, why aren't you doing that? And that's a valid question. David asked it often. Paul was a man on a mission. He was a man that was up against it. In 2 Corinthians, and really through the whole book of Corinthians, we understand this, that the church at Corinth was just a hot mess. It had divisions. It had sin. It had issues with their communion or lack thereof. They had issues over spiritual gifts. And it wasn't just whether or not they had spiritual gifts, but it became a thing about pride and arrogance and haughtiness. And everybody wanted one gift over everything else. And it actually becomes the least of the gifts. And it had false teachers. And these false teachers came in and they were living a life of ease because they had told and they had spread a false gospel. And we're not exactly sure what that all was about, but they were coming against Paul. And they were saying that he was not even, and they questioned his authority and his apostolic position that Jesus Christ himself gave him. And in this defense of his authority, he doesn't come out and go, hey, well, I planted the church at Ephesus and Philippi, and I've been with Timothy, and I've written 13 books in the New Testament. He didn't do any of that. He didn't brag. He wasn't arrogant. He wasn't prideful. In fact, he boasted, but it wasn't boasting the way that you would think you would boast. And in doing so, he is claiming authority, but what he is sharing with us is that to be a true apostle of Jesus Christ, to be a true follower of Christ, there are going to be times where the suffering is going to come upon you. Where you're going to have bad things. And things are going to happen for the sole purpose of being used by God to accomplish other things. Do you realize that the church at Philippi doesn't start if he doesn't get beat? Think about that for a moment. It doesn't start if he's not thrust into the prison. We don't like to hear this. I don't like to hear it. But it's true. You think of all the impact of people that have had in your life. Most of those people were able to impact your life not because of some positive thing that happened, but because of some negative thing that happened that they were resilient through. And they used it, and God used it in their life to have a huge impact in your life. They didn't pack their bags, they didn't pack their Bibles up, they didn't run home, and they didn't blame God. They lived with a different perspective. In verse 16 of chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, Paul says this. He makes a defense of his apostleship. And it would not be how I would do it. But it's how he did it. And it's how the Holy Spirit allowed him to do it. And we get this concept from Paul that he boasted not about his power or his position, but he boasted in his suffering. In the bad times of his life. He says, I say again, let no one think me a fool. If otherwise, at least receive me as a fool, that also I may boast a little. What I speak not according to the Lord, but as it were foolishly in the confidence of boasting. Seeing that many boast according to the flesh, I will also boast. So he wasn't saying this, I'm doing this from a pride perspective. I'm going to show you how rough it is. It says, to our shame, verse 21, to our shame I say that we were too weak for that. But in whatever, anyone is bold, I speak foolishly. I am bold also. Are there Hebrews? So am I. These false teachers were Hebrews. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. They are not ministers of Christ. Their life is full of ease. Their life is full of wealth, health, and prosperity, and position, and power. This is my apostolic credentials. He says, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. He was up against it. Paul is laying out his life to the church at Corinth. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. And a night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often. In perils of water. In perils of robbers. In perils my own countrymen. In perils of the Gentiles. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. In weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness, beside the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble, and I do not burn with indignation? If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. So if I'm going to tell you what makes me an apostle, it is not because my life has been easy. Anything but that. My life has been hard. Harder than what anyone in this room can imagine. The Lord and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas the king, was guarding the city of Damascus with a garrison, desiring to arrest me. But I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from his hands. Folks, we don't know all of these accounts that Paul shares with us. Scripture does not record them. But we know in Acts 16, in Philippi, he was beaten. He was also in prison there as well. We know in Acts 14 that he was stoned. That was the stoning he was talking about. In Acts 27, it's the shipwreck. And in 2 Corinthians 11:32 and 33, he suffers great humiliation. He gets let down out of the city in a basket. That does not sound like a guy who was a chosen vessel to the Gentiles, does it? But this was his testimony. He was resilient. That word is very, very interesting. It means this: an ability to recover from or adjust easily to misfortune or change. We can all choose resilience today. We can all learn from the Apostle Paul and adjust our rabbit ears and conform back to the nature and likeness of Jesus Christ. Because if it doesn't get any easier, will you still stand? If it doesn't get any easier, will you still live for Him? If it doesn't get any easier, will you still love God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, and your mind, and your neighbor as yourself? Will you really choose to love your neighbor as yourself? When I looked up this definition, I'm thinking, man, recover from or adjust easily to misfortune or change. No one in the New Testament looked quite like that or lived quite like that as the Apostle Paul. And I asked myself this question: what did he have? What did he have that I needed? What did he have that we need as a church? Because I think, folks, that we're coming into a time in the world, and I'm not a prophet and I'm not a doom and gloomer, and you know that. But I don't see this thing getting better. I don't see how some of this is going to ever come back to what we previously knew as normal prior to Memorial Day weekend. I pray for the officers in our church, the good officers in our church, that God would have protection over them and keep them of a sound mind, because that's so important. I pray that we would be able to come through a perspective and say, you know what? I can love you. You may not look like me, but I can love you and I can accept you and I will cherish you as a dear friend. Do you realize that there are some people that can't even talk politics within their own family? I wonder what God would say about that. But why was Paul so resilient? I believe it starts at the very beginning of his life in Christ. Go to Acts chapter 9, if you would, please. What we're going to do over the next couple of weeks, we're going to show you his perspective as it would have unfolded for him from the beginning in Christ to the end, as he is being poured out as a drink offering, as he knows that he is going to die. He is going to perish. He's going to be martyred. But in Acts chapter 9, verse 13, it says this: Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man. This is Saul, who will later be Paul, or is becoming Paul. How much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. I don't blame Ananias for his caution. But the Lord speaks to Ananias, Go, For he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Now right there, it sounds great. Oh man, God, I get to go see kings. And I get to go over to the Gentiles. And I get to go before your people. Well, remember, all the things that he just talked about, all the sufferings he went through, happened at the hands of those three groups of people. But verse 16 says this, "For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." What did Paul know? His calling. What made him resilient was his calling gave him reason to anticipate suffering. I've said this to you before, but as a kid, I think she just died this last week, but remember the old song? All of you who know what rabbit ears are will know this song. "I never promised you a rose garden." Right? "Along with the sunshine, it's gonna what? Rain." Right? I think she just died last week. This is what happens. Too many people come to Christ and they think everything is going to be absolutely spectacular in their life. And when that stops happening, they blame God. From the very beginning, the Apostle Paul knew and understood that though his life is going to be wonderfully different, it was going to be also amazingly difficult. "I will show him the things that he will have to suffer for me." What made him resilient? His calling gave him anticipation of suffering. Go over back to 2 Corinthians, the very next book chronologically that we're going to look at. Not all of the books have these statements in them, but I want to show it to you as we come through. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 12. "For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves," so if we are just crazy for you, it is for God. "If we are of sound mind, it is for you." But notice this, verse 14, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Do you see what Paul was grabbing onto and holding onto? What gave him the ability to be resilient through the hardships and the heartaches and the pain and the suffering and the beatings and the stonings and the imprisonment is the fact that his love enabled him to withstand suffering. He says in verse 14, "It is the love of Christ that compels us." Christ died for all. And because Christ died for all, I'm gonna love all. I'm going to love to tell the story of the love that Christ has for all men. That love is going to compel me. That love is going to empower me. That love is going to propel me into the world. And when I'm sitting there in chains, probably naked, in the inner dungeon of Philippi, I am going to sing of the wondrous love of God. And notice what happened. Heaven heard in an earthquake, and the doors are opened, and the jailer is scared. He says, "Do yourself no harm." And as a result of that, the Apostle Paul, bloodied, battered, beaten, imprisoned, humiliated, gets to share Christ with that Philippian jailer. That's resilience. How would you be towards that person who did that to you? A couple of weeks ago, we looked at Stephen, the first martyr. And while he was being stoned to death, he said, "Father, please do not hold this against their charge." And a young man, Saul, was there giving approval. They laid their coats at his feet. I wonder if Stephen acts any differently, if that changes Paul. Maybe we need to readjust. Maybe it can't be so much about us any longer. Maybe it needs to be more about him. I'm going to give you one more and then we're going to be done for today. Go over to Galatians chapter 1. I found this verse very early on in college. And when I knew that the Lord was calling me into ministry, this was a verse that became very important to me. Here's another thing that made the Apostle Paul so resilient, because he gives his purpose, gave him the reason for suffering. And it's simply this, for in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, "For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to be a man pleaser? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." You see, when he uses the word bondservant, my friends, that means that Jesus Christ is his Lord and his Master. He was literally his servant. A servant does not do what the servant desires to do. The servant's whole task is to do what the master desires them to do. Lord, I don't want to go through this. I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to have to have this conversation or have that funeral or be in this situation in my life. But Lord, if that's what you want me to do, I have to do that. I don't want to forgive my neighbor. But if that's what you say in your word that I'm supposed to do, then Lord, I can't be the master. I have to be the servant. And Lord, I will willingly submit to you. If I've offended someone, I will go to them and ask forgiveness. If they have offended me, I will grant forgiveness. I will love those who hate me. I will pray for those who persecute me. I will honor those who do not see the same thing about COVID-19 or what's going on in the streets. Because God, that's what you want from your believers. You want us to be like Christ. It's not changed that we're supposed to be salt and light. That we're supposed to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. And sometimes that gets ugly, and sometimes that gets mean, and sometimes that takes us to places we don't want to be. But today, let's choose to be resilient. To not give up, to not give in, but to continue to live for the one who lived for us, who died for us, who has given us the model to go. Is it going to be hard? Yeah. Is it hard now? Yeah. Could it get harder? My Bible says it will. Until Jesus comes back and makes it all right. Keep going. Keep loving. Keep living for Him. Next week we're going to look at 5 more things from Paul's life that enabled him to be resilient. And those things will be similar in your life if you allow it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day, for the time that you've given us. Lord, this is just, it's a crazy world we live in. And Lord, the church has got to be the church. It has to have influence in the world. And we do that as believing priests when we leave here. That God, we will know how to say things, and we will know how to, and we'll know how to respond. We'll know how to love, we'll know how to act, we'll know how to behave. Father, we will see that the greatest thing is your kingdom. Seek first your kingdom. May we do that. Empower us with your Holy Spirit, Father, to reach out into our communities, into our neighborhoods, and be a light. Not just say we are, but to really be a light. May we readjust. May we be servants. And may we be resilient. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.